For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
The flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
A little after 4 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon in New York City, we are live from Yankee Stadium, taking you right up until the pregame show at 7:25. Game 5, Yankees-Dodgers. So yesterday, Alex Rodriguez was on the program. I like Alex Rodriguez. I've warmed up to Alex Rodriguez.
Alex is great.
And that's why Alex Rodriguez, Tiki, deserves a fair trial.
That's why his banner is retired in our studio.
That's right. That's right. That was a decision Sean Morash made many months ago, and I've actually warmed up to that. I think he was right for doing that. But Alex has been accused of something, and we here at WFAN need to give him that fair trial. So I don't think you're aware of it, Tiki, which is
not.
Great. You will hear everything from scratch.
This happened on our show yesterday?
This happened on Fox TV.
Oh, got it.
Okay? Last night, about 5 minutes before the Yankee game actually ended, Mike Francesa, our former coworker, tweeted this, and I quote, "Tonight is an annoyance for the Dodgers. The pressure starts if and when they leave the Bronx without the trophy." Whatever.
Yeah.
Fine tweet. About 15 minutes later, on Fox, Alex Rodriguez.
"Tonight, Kevin, is an annoyance for the LA Dodgers. The pressure begins if they get on that plane without the commissioner's trophy. And at that point, if it gets there, look out."
Wow. Wow. Now, that is almost word for word, and I can confirm.
Yes.
The Mike tweet did happen before Alex was on TV. Okay? Mike's tweet went out at 11:28. The game ended at 11:24, so it was actually about 4 minutes after the game concluded when Mike put out that very innocuous, it's an annoyance, okay. And it feels like A-Rod basically read Mike's tweet Fox without credit.
So did he say, did he give any credit to this?
No.
Alex? He
no.
just said it as if it was individual?
That was Alex's opinion.
No, I mean, in fairness to Alex, there could have been one of his producers that said it to him. And he just kind of repeated it.
Is that common on TVT?
100%.
So sometimes a producer will say something to you during a broadcast.
We have a great producer,
okay.
Steve McKee, who is our producer. And sometimes I don't see things. And so
right.
I can't see everything. And I'm trying to get a replay. I'm like, "Steve, give me back the All-22. I need to see XYZ." And he just tells me what it is. And so I'll just say what he says. So I trust him to say what he says.
And so
I'm not saying that's what happened in this case, but I could see a producer saying something like, "I just read, you know, this is annoyance. Go with that." Like, I have no idea. So I can't fault Alex without knowing if he intentionally plagiarized something. Because there are plenty of times in the games that I call on the weekends where I'm just trusting my producer to tell me what to say.
And it's possible your producer just read an Evan Roberts tweet right to you.
Yes.
And you're just repeating what I tweeted.
Yes.
I mean, that's very possible. I didn't think about it that way. Sean, your thoughts. Is A-Rod guilty of plagiarizing Mike Francesa?
Well, let me just preface
this.
And
it's so quick. Like, 4 minutes is not a long time.
Well, this is what I would say, and this is with all due respect to Mike and A-Rod. It's not exactly an original thought.
No, that's true.
I mean, the series was 3-0. The Yankees won a game, and it came up. Now, I will say this. If A-Rod is getting any of Francesa's says his tweets. I hope he doesn't regurgitate any after some kind of sports athlete does. That's rough.
So the other thing A-Rod said, and he actually said this on the radio with us yesterday when he joined us. If you missed it, you could download the Evan and Tiki podcast. And it was the one thing he said that jarred me a little bit. I was like, whoa, okay, that's pretty impactful. I want you to take a listen to what Alex said about the prospects of the Yankees losing last night and getting swept by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Take a listen.
If the Yankees lose today at home, this would be one of the biggest embarrassments in decades.
Okay. This would be the biggest embarrassment in decades. So
he's right.
I agree with him.
Even though most teams that go down 0-3, as we talked about yesterday, they usually go down 0-4. They get swept. They lose. I think four of them? Right?
This is only in World Series history the third time.
Yeah, so this is the third
time. A team has forced a fifth game. And no one has ever forced a sixth game. So if the Yankees win tonight, they'd be the first team in World Series history to be down 3-0 and force a sixth game. First of all, Sean, as a Yankee fan, did you agree with A-Rod when he said that yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the real key question for all of you. What if they lose tonight?
No.
Like, you're still losing five. Is it that same embarrassment Alex described to us yesterday?
I don't think so. I don't think so, and I think a lot of it is because how the game played out yesterday. And there was something to cheer. Like, if they had lost, gotten swept, and the two games here are just duds, like dead. Tuesday or Monday was like a dud, especially after Freddie Freeman went yard. And so if yesterday would have also been a dud, it's just embarrassing, man. It's just like, come on.
Well, what if they had a dud tonight? No. What if Garrett Cole struggled? I don't think he will, but let's just say
you
that
can't. You'll still think of Anthony Volpe. Yeah. Okay. You'll still think of 11 runs. And
a sweep makes all the difference. A sweep makes it embarrassing because a sweep makes anything that any naysayer said about the Yankees and only playing the AL Central or all their problems, just the same team from the middle of the month, the American League is weak, all of that comes to fruition. They won yesterday.
So
they beat the Dodgers.
It makes it seem like you're not good enough to even be on the same
field.
You get swept, you're not good enough to be on the same field.
You guys are doing nothing wrong, right? You're saying exactly how you feel in this moment, and I respect the hell out of it. But you guys are dead wrong.
Well,
you are. Because
the only caveat.
Oh, here we go. See, the caveats are coming.
Is that this is Garrett Cole game.
That's a part of it, yes.
That's the only reason why.
If
Garrett Cole gets shelled, I think it gets you get angry again.
You get angry at Garrett Cole? Look.
You just get angry again.
We will make
I don't know necessarily at Garrett Cole, but you'll get angry again.
If the Yankees lose this game tonight in some kind of, like, pathetic fashion, all the excitement of yesterday, which was great. I mean, there's no denying it. I think every Yankee fan should be pumped up today. Yep. I am not trying to kill anyone's balloon or pop the balloon or take the air out. Merely saying you're wrong. You're talking emotionally. If they lose tonight, everything Alex said about it being embarrassing gets re-upped tomorrow morning.
That's
all over this radio station and all over New York City.
Biggest embarrassment in decades to lose to this Dodger team in five games? Come on, bro. Sweeping is one thing. Five games, nothing.
Tommy, save the audio.
If they lose and lose badly tonight and Garrett Cole is bad, it won't be the Yankees got embarrassed tonight. It'll be Garrett Cole didn't pitch in short rest and then you preserved him for that and then he got embarrassed. It will be an individual bother that we will be angry at Garrett Cole, not that the Yankees are embarrassed for the first time in decades.
For your sake and for Yankee fans listening sake, I hope we can't get a conclusion to this answer, because if you win, this is moot. But I think you guys are dead wrong. I think that if they lost tonight, especially if it was in that kind of pathetic-y kind of fashion, then Alex's point yesterday would be true, that it would be some kind of big embarrassment. It was a great win yesterday, and we'll see if they could do something that's never been done in the history of the World Series, and that's go down 3-0 and force a sixth game. And I think there is an accomplishment to that. But if they lose pathetically tonight, you're going to come on the radio tomorrow. You'll make a video tonight as you're leaving Yankee Stadium, and you'll scream and yell.
Don't reveal
and you'll talk about how pathetic it is.
Well, I'll talk about how pathetic Garrett Cole was. Maybe I'll talk continually how pathetic Aaron Judge is. Mm-hmm. I will not say the 2024 Yankees were pathetic because they lost to the Dodgers in the World Series.
Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Edgar calling from North Bergen. How are we doing today, Edgar?
How you guys doing? Sorry, I don't have much of a voice, guys, after last night's game.
Oh, nice. It's all good, bro.
Good for you, man.
Hey, so look, I live in Jersey. I'm a Bronx native. And you know, if you're from New York, us guys, we have a lot of passion for the game. So I'm here to talk about those fans yesterday. I took the ball out of the glove.
Yeah.
I put myself in his shoes. I said, okay, we have a lot of passion. We're down 3-0. He's frustrated. I don't think he did anything that terrible like you guys are making him out to be.
Thank you.
I mean, all he did was take the ball out of the glove. Okay, yeah, it was it wasn't the right thing to do. But you would have done what most Yankee fans, I feel, would have done in his shoes, which is take the ball out of the glove. That's all. Should he be banned the game? Maybe. But not indefinitely.
Yeah,
I think the other guy that got, I think the other guy that grabbed the guy's the player's arm, I think he should be disciplined more than his boy.
I love how you're, Edgar, I love how you're describing. He just tried to take the ball out of his glove. He was trying to rip the ball out of his glove. He was trying to, like, hold the glove down and jar it loose like he's an NFL safety.
Yeah, he was ripping the glove open so that he could get the ball out.
Yeah,
it was already a catch, though. I mean, so that was the only problem I had with it. It was already a catch. What are you doing? What are you actually doing?
Too little, too late, baby. Tom's in Branchburg, New Jersey. Hey, Tom.
All right, so just clarification on the Ohtani jersey thing. I used to work in minor league baseball, and just to bring this thing full circle, actually hired the Pat Boyle as an intern.
Oh.
But there's shared revenue agreements. Like, that's not the Yankees' call. That's MLB. It's shared revenue across all teams. They're all selling a tiki spot on.
Yep.
Now, to the Mets point, I don't
did
know
that if that happened with the Mets. Do you know, Tom, if it happened with the Mets or no?
I don't know if it did, but I don't know if Steve Cohen can say, there's no way I'm selling an Ohtani jersey in my stadium. Get it out of here. Like, to me, the Yankees are all about the dollar. They're going to take every piece of revenue they can. I don't know if you can override that or not, but it's not like the Yankees went out and said, let's sell Ohtani jerseys. It all comes from MLB.
Right. That was my gut on it. Because it feels like a fantastic business decision, especially if they're Dodger fans in the vicinity.
How many do you think they really sold last night?
I don't know.
I saw Dodger fans, but not a lot.
Yeah, but look, I'm not a Met fan per se, but when we were here and I brought my daughter Brooklyn for the we sat in the SNY booth, and it was the Subway Series, right? Yeah.
Mets
game? No, that was afterwards. That was afterwards.
Yeah, that was a different game.
But anyways, I brought. We're not Mets fans. She doesn't even know the Mets.
Right.
But what did we do? We went to the store. She wanted to buy something, so we bought a Francisco Lindor jersey. And so she has this little cute Francisco Lindor jersey.
Wait, so if you brought Brooklyn to the World Series and you had these two great seats, beautiful night, you're like,
it's
let's
wrong,
go to the World
it's
Series.
Wrong, it's,
would you buy her an Ohtani shirt?
No, I'd buy her a Yankee jersey.
Well, there you go.
What if she asked her daddy to buy her an Ohtani jersey, you would?
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, think about this. So, like, my older kids are half Asian, so half Korean, half Vietnamese. And maybe they identify with Shohei Ohtani for some reason. And I brought them when they were babies or whatever, 8, 9 years old, 10 years old, and they wanted an Ohtani. Of course I would have got it for them. Mm. Absolutely. He's a star. He's not like a rival.
Yeah.
I know he's the rival right now, but it's not like, you know, you're buying the enemies, the arch enemies. I'm not trying to buying a Philadelphia Eagle jersey. You know what I mean? It's just different.
And that's David Ortiz.
And let's not kid ourselves.
Exactly.
Ohtani is a draw. There is plenty in the Asian community who are here experiencing this, and Dodger fans as well. There's a lot of street entrepreneurs outside Yankee Stadium who I saw last night leaving selling plenty of Dodger stuff at their pop-up tables. You want them to be the only show in town making money on Shohei? If you're the Yankees, you might as well try to bring in that revenue. Right,
I think Tom hit it right. It's Major League Baseball. Giving the Yankees either giving them the opportunity or telling them this is better for the collective revenue stream.
I understand Tiki's a smart, intelligent guy, looks at all sides. Sean is doing gymnastics to try to defend the Yankees right now.
I want to sign Juan Soto, and I'm looking for all the revenue I can.
Right. Let's go to Peyton in Roxbury, New Jersey. What's up, Peyton?
Hey, guys. So I just want to say I'm a Mets fan, and I think that the Yankees need to do what Noah Syndergaard did in Game 3 of the World Series in 2015 today to Freddie Freeman in his first at-bat. Go up and in, you know, 98, you know, near the chin, and then attack him. Three straight beaters. I think Syndergaard went with an off-speed at one point. But let Freeman know that, you know, it's Cole's plate just as much as his. Make him a little uncomfortable. I think it would get the stadium going, and I think it's what he needs to do to kind of, you know, set the tempo going.
First of all, there's a few differences, and I'm not against it. Like, if Gerrit Cole, top of the first inning, Freddie Freeman is batting third. We'll see what the situation is at that point. If you want to go up and in and basically sand them, make them sit down on the dirt, I got no problem with that. I just don't think it's going to work.
Yeah.
Like, I think Freddie Freeman is such a pro that it's not going to like.
He's seen it all, man. He's 35 years old at this point. He's been in tons of postseason games. He knows intensity because he's old school. He goes back long enough where, I mean, you actually would get hit for doing dumb things in Major League Baseball. So, maybe it'll work, but I doubt it. You might as well just put him on base.
Yeah, well, that's the approach I would take. Like, when there's a great player who's locked in, I give you the other side of it. During the ALCS, I couldn't understand why Stephen Vogt kept going after Giancarlo.
Yeah.
You have a great player that's gotten hot. Now, Giancarlo, like Freddie Freeman, are great players that are probably past their major, major prime,
yeah,
but still really good. But when they get hot, they can remind you of what they are in their prime. So when they get hot, why not treat them with that same respect? And that would be the thing I would do if I'm the Yankees. And look, it depends on the situation. I'll tell you a couple of things. First of all, I think Shohei Ohtani's hurt. I think Shohei Ohtani, and I give him credit. Look, I may not like the guy and the publicity he gets, but you know what? God bless him. He's out there every day.
Yeah.
I do respect the hell out of that.
And he is playing with a jacked up shoulder.
There's
to the point that he cannot run without holding onto his shirt.
There's no question.
It's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in a professional athletic competition.
That's why if you're the Yankees, and they did this yesterday to their credit, you got to attack them. You basically got to say, you know what? I don't buy that you're going to make us pay. Think about this. In the seventh inning, with a two-run lead, Mark Leiter, who was left off the postseason roster, struck out Shohei Ohtani as the tying run at the plate.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty, too.
That's how compromised Shohei Ohtani actually is. So I go after him, but I got to be very careful with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys right now I cannot let beat me. And so far, through the first four games of this World Series, the Dodger offense has essentially been just Freddie Freeman beating you.
And that's the danger for the Dodgers when you don't punt games, because you think Ohtani's shoulder's getting any better over the next couple of days? As long as he's
okay, I'm sorry, because people keep repeating this over and over again. I don't know what you mean by punt games. Like, punting is such the wrong word, it needs to be banned from all of our vocabulary.
Not try to win.
Not punt. It means to be more aggressive in trying to
win. Not try to win.
Do you think that...
Evan, do you think he was trying to win the game last night?
I think he was trying to win the game last night. I think he was being judicial about which bullpen arms to use. He's got a blown-out Blake Treinen. He's not going to use him in a two-run game in the eighth inning. He's not.
Yeah,
and you think that's dumb?
No, I think letting the Yankees hang around is dumb.
But which reliever should he have used?
I don't know their bullpen. I'm not you, Evan.
But I'm telling you,
I can't go into my bag and pull out the reliever that should have done.
What I'm telling you is, and you don't have to trust me on this, I've watched him enough to know he's used his bullpen so much. Punt's not the right word, but I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be judicious about which arms you use. It's not punting a game. It's being smart. Now, if they're down 3-0, balls to the wall, like right. Aaron Boone has to be. When you're up 3-0, can you manage a tad bit more conservatively and not burn out guys that you've been using all postseason? Yes!
Yeah.
And that's not punting. That's being smart. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And it's not because we're cousins. I know that people accuse me of that. I just think that we're repeating something over and over again, and I don't think if we think about it, it makes as much sense as it sounds as it comes out of our mouth.
I think down two, you have an offense that can go get hot against anybody, especially relievers. Not that I believe that Luke Weaver was going to give up, I don't know, four runs or three runs or something like that. But if there's a team that I believe could get after any bullpen, it's the Dodgers. And he didn't let that chance occur.
So what I would tell you for tonight, game five, off day tomorrow, a bullpen that did not use their major arms, Blake Treinen didn't pitch,
mm-hmm.
Michael Kopech didn't pitch, Brewster Gatterall didn't pitch, the two lefties didn't pitch. What I would tell you is tonight, I manage balls to the wall if I'm Dave Roberts.
Mm.
I have an off day. I want to finish this series. I'm not messing around. But in the middle of a three-game stretch, in which I know my bullpen's been overused, other than Gratterall, who's been hurt for a while, I thought it would have been dumb to use some of his top relievers in a game in which he was trailing. And that's why, look, we can disagree about it. That's not what I'm mad about. I'm mad at the word punt. I really am. I'm mad at this idea that the manager said, I don't really care. No, he's managing a best-of-seven series, and he did the same thing with the Mets.
Would it have been beneficial for the Dodgers tonight with Gerrit Cole on the mound to not have Weaver available?
Yes.
And,
and I admitted that earlier in the show. That's the one pause I would have in the eighth inning of, boy, I really want to keep this game close if I'm Dave Roberts, so I have the Yankees to have to use Luke Weaver. But look, there are some advantages of when you're up 3-0. And that doesn't mean the Dodgers won't blow this series.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Maybe, Tiki, you'll come back and say, hey, Evan, remember when Dave Roberts did what he did in game four? I think you have to be smart.
My only point is that you don't want a good team like the Yankees, who are underperforming, to get hot. and then all of a sudden you can't do anything about it, especially when you don't. I mean, I guess Walker Buehler, because he's had two really good starts his last two times out. Maybe he's the guy that scares you a little bit if you're a Yankee, but nobody scares you here. And it's, if you're hot and you're on and you're scoring 5, 6, 7 runs, you're not losing if you're the Yankees. And that was allowed to happen to an extent. And you're allowed to preserve Luke Weaver. You're going to get Gerrit Cole tonight. And then hopefully Rodon, you know, figures it out when he has to pitch again in Game 6. But the momentum has shifted. Now, it's not like football where you can feel, like a palpable feel, momentum shift, because it plays out in 60 minutes, at least on clock time, even though it takes forever. But it feels like momentum could shift significantly if the Yankees win tonight in convincing fashion.
Well, if they win tonight, they will do something that's never happened in the history of the World Series: go down 3-0 and force a sixth game. But they are trying to do something that has happened in baseball history before, but it's a sore subject for Yankee fans. So when we come back, we'll find out if Luke Weaver, a guy that we all adore, crossed the line in Yankee history. We'll get to it coming up, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019 as we get you set for Game 5 of the World Series.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live from Yankee Stadium. Beautiful Wednesday late afternoon, slowly but surely becoming evening. And then it'll be time for the final baseball game in New York City of 2024, Game 5 of the World Series. We've been here 3 straight days. We appreciate the hospitality from the New York Yankees and from the Spanish radio broadcast booth. But one thing Tiki and I have noticed every day, every single day, is one particular Yankee who comes out prior to official batting practice, faces a hitting machine, not a live pitcher, and just swats balls all over the ballpark. The one guy who's consistently done it is Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, it's impressive watching him, too. We talked about this yesterday or 2 days ago as well. But it's like he's coming off the machine, and it's like he's trying intentionally to go the opposite way, because so many of the hits go to right field. Every now and then you see him pull one. He put it, you know, first row into the stands up there. But it's also like, I think it's a mental thing for him. As an older player, you mentally and physically have to warm up differently. You know, it's not like you're 25 years old. You're not Anthony Volpe, who just run out there and just feel it right away without even trying. Pick up a glove and let's go play. Roll the balls, right? This is different for an older player like Giancarlo, who's 35. He's got to get his mind and his body geared up, right? I think we take that for granted, how hard it is for some of these older players to get themselves right to play a game. So I didn't know he did this. I don't know if he does it every for regular season games, but it's kind of cool watching him go through his process.
Well, you mentioned getting ready to play games. Think about this with Giancarlo, and I understand why the Yankees did it. He didn't play every day.
Yeah.
They would give him off days every couple of days.
Yeah, true.
And granted, in the playoffs, you do have a lot of off days. You never play more than 3 days in a row like the Yankees are doing right now, the middle games of a series, a best-of-7 series. But he's still playing a lot more than he's used to.
Yeah, of course he is.
So last night, as you guys know, and we've talked a little bit about it today, you can rewind to specifically 3 o'clock where we gave our opinions on the glove snatcher himself. The fans who decided to try to grab the ball away from Mookie Betts when he was making a catch in the first inning against Gleyber Torres. I gave you my opinion on it. Sean is a defender of his. Susan Waldman actually came in during one of our commercial breaks to yell at Sean Morash for defending this guy. Well, Alex Verdugo, a very interesting figure, a guy who's had it with Yankee fans. Remember a couple years ago as a member of the Red Sox?
Yep.
I think he was arguing with Yankee fans in the past. Played in the city of Boston. Played in L.A., Alex Verdugo just now was asked about that fan and the incident, the fan's name Austin Capobianco, and here is what Alex Verdugo had to say about the fan's actions. Take a listen.
Maybe one of the more extreme, kind of trying to rip a ball out, but at the same time, it's that's kind of New York. I feel like that's what you expect out here. You expect some, you know, just some unique things. And you know, at the end of the day, I didn't feel like it was too serious. You know, I think Mookie kind of shook it off too. So, you know, that's just kind of the passion I guess New Yorkers have.
I could see right through it, but what do you think about that?
He's only been here for a season, so it's not like he knows really fully how New Yorkers are, like the vitriol or the quirkiness or the, I don't know, ridiculousness with which they consume their sports and think of and you know, behave in real time. But he's kind of right. Yeah, I think he's on it. He's defending the guy because that's just how kind of New York is.
Tiki, you know what he's doing.
What's that?
He's pandering.
No, he's not. Why does he need to pander?
Because he's hitting 190 since June 1st.
But nobody cares.
The Yankee fans care.
But that's the best part about it.
No,
Capobianco's a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
He's bashed Alex Verdugo this year.
Right.
And Verdugo's defending him, which I love.
I think Verdugo was right for saying what he said.
Yeah.
Because
I don't think anybody cares what Alex Verdugo did in the regular season. The only thing that matters for a guy like Alex Verdugo, who was brought here simply to be an attitude guy and produce in the postseason, he's actually doing what he was brought here to
do. Well, I mean, he was hitting 190 till yesterday.
Well, hold on.
In the playoffs.
Man. Let me defend him for a second.
I know he hit the home run the other night.
He's hitting 190. I was at the head of play Jason Dominguez, Verdugo. I led the charge.
He's had a good couple of days.
But forget a couple of days. I'm not going to look back on this postseason if it ends tonight and go, Alex Verdugo was a problem in the postseason.
No,
and his defense has been awesome.
He's something else.
What am I, something else?
I mean, he's the mercenary.
What do you mean I'm something else?
The problem is you can't put him in your category of pieces of crap because he's actually been a mercenary, pretty good player.
Yeah,
no,
right.
He hasn't. He's
that's
been one of the worst left fielders in baseball since June 1st.
I'm not talking about June 1st. I'm talking about October 1st.
I mean,
he's basically Ozzie Smith. You put him in left, somebody doesn't hit him.
You guys are something else. Until the home run he hit the other day.
Hold on. Here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Here's the problem, Evan.
Yeah.
When you have your players, let's say it's Aaron Rodgers or I'm trying to think of anybody else.
Well, he thinks David Wright's better than Don Mattingly. Give him David Wright.
No, not David Wright. It's got to be someone who was brought here, the mercenary. Like you think when you bring a mercenary to your teams,
right?
It's like the biggest thing that's ever happened to your team.
Right.
Kevin Durant.
Exactly. Kevin Durant is
the
perfect
example. What does that have to do with Alex Verdugo?
Alex Verdugo wasn't brought here to be the biggest thing that happened to the Yankees. He was brought here to be a piece that was going to help the Yankees. And so if he's here next year or not, most New Yorkers aren't going to care unless he wins a World Series. They're not going to think about – this isn't Hicks, you know, trying to play center or left, wherever the hell he was. It's not Joey Gallo, you know, limply trying to get the ball over the right field short porch. Right? This is not that kind of player. He was brought here to help this team win a championship because they're all in this year with the Juan Soto year. And, yeah, he went through some bad, tough times. But at this point, they're in the World Series, and he's actually done okay in the postseason.
I mean, it was like 3 days ago when Yankee fans were begging for Dominguez to start over him.
Well, we were looking for something to shake up.
Like, Alex Verdugo is not
– He wasn't the problem, though.
Right.
No, because he's more of a bit piece than some of the other guys you were describing, obviously.
That's exactly right.
And I completely agree with that, but let's not act like Alex Verdugo is some kind of stud. He wasn't.
I'm not saying he was a stud. You're saying exactly what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying
that he's not a stud, and we know he's not a stud, so whatever we get out of him is great. And if he brings an attitude lift, fantastic.
5 days ago, y'all wanted him benched. That's all I'm saying.
Sometimes you can be emotional. If not for Aaron Boone going to Nestor Cortez, Verdugo's remembered forever by Yankee fans for that catch.
I'm not disputing the catch that he made. No, he made a great catch.
That's all I have is great points, TV. Thank you.
Sometimes I feel like I'm talking to crazy people.
No.
5 days ago, you guys wanted him benched.
You think you're talking to someone who takes mercenaries with the same importance that you do.
No, but Verdugo's not the same as my mercenaries.
I know, because when you bring in mercenaries, there need to be the greatest thing in the world.
That is true.
Our mercenaries are just the guy.
Did we not spend, was it not a month ago when we were talking about benching him for Dominguez?
Yeah, and things changed.
Oh, okay. Right.
He's played gold glove caliber left field in the postseason.
I know that, but all I'm saying is those comments, I support him for saying it.
Mm-hmm. He's defending the fans,
I think
he's
just trying to pander to Yankees.
No, he's not pandering.
I think he doesn't know.
Doesn't
that's what I'm saying.
Doesn't know what?
He doesn't know the Yankee fan. You think he knows the Yankee fan?
I mean, I think he spent a year here to get an idea of how passionate we all are in his New York.
Wait, hold on. He doesn't know the Yankee fans? He almost got into a fight with them once when he wanted to scale the wall. So
yeah,
what are we talking about?
I brought that up
before. Do we all have a short memory?
Has he been through the ups and downs as a Yankee?
He definitely has this year because he's heard it. Like,
you can hear it now, Teague.
What?
Evan's angry that we're defending Verdugo.
Lugauer, I'm not.
Hold on.
I'm merely saying what you all said a week ago.
Lugauer is now screaming at us that, I thought you remember Verdugo fought the Yankees. He's only Yankee. You know what's happening here, Tiki?
What's that?
What? Something about the Mets that's unrelated.
It's coming.
It's nothing to do with the Mets.
It has nothing to do with the Mets. We've been very classy. No, you don't get to call a timeout.
No,
you don't call timeouts.
I get to finish my statement.
We're being very classy. We're bringing up a fact that happened that you ignored.
You guys have sat there very quietly as Mets fans, and I understand why, and you have sat and waited for the Yankee demise. And now here they are off a World Series win, and we're defending our guys, and you guys are so angry that wasn't a sweep last night that you want blood.
First of all, not true.
Not true.
I'm not speaking for Lugie. I'm speaking for myself.
I'm speaking for me. It's not true.
I don't want to be told what I think or how I think. I tell you how I think. If you don't believe me, you think I'm a liar. That's fine. I was merely saying that Verdugo is a guy who I appreciate the fact that he's defending Yankee fans because y'all hated him 4 days ago.
Okay,
so and now you look like I'm nuts for saying that when it was true for the last 5 months. You wanted him benched.
No, here's what's happening.
Like, I'm crazy.
You're trying to make Alex Verdugo's defense of a Yankee fan something that Yankee fans care about.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They don't care that Verdugo defended the fan?
No. Because he's not—he's here for a year, maybe another one. Who knows? But he's here for a year.
By the way, he's
not a superstar. He's not Kevin Durant coming to the net.
Well, then,
so I got to listen to what Kevin Durant says because he's Kevin Durant.
Well, he's also defending sanity. It wasn't that crazy.
I apologize for even playing the audio. We wasted everybody's time.
No, we didn't. No.
Let's go.
We exposed you. So that's why we.
Right. Okay. Let's go to Matt in Staten Island. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you this evening?
We're good, man. What's up?
What's up?
So, when I was on hold, I had one thing I wanted to tell you, but I got to make it two. Number one, when it comes to the Capobianco situation, this is clear-cut idiot bet or idiot action, okay?
No doubt. I have
done things like this with my friends at events where we said, if this happens, we're going to do this over there. And they're like, if you do this, we'll buy your beer for the next year. So, I've done that. That's a clear idiot bet.
Right.
The second thing I want to bring up has to do with the Francesa A-Rod situation.
Go ahead.
Now, this might get me in a little trouble. I have a friend, and I won't say his name, who, when the Mets were playing the Milwaukee Brewers, must have been listening to the fan. I can't remember the date, but at 5:39 p.m., Evan Roberts said, I think the Mets should hold Manea for Monday's game.
Right.
Okay? I look down at my cell phone at 5:40. I have a text from this individual saying, if the Mets were smart, they would hold Manea for Monday. Classic radio repeat. And A-Rod is guilty 100%.
Wait, so did I copy Mike or did Mike copy me? I'm very curious now.
No, Chris copied you.
Oh, Chris your friend did. I got you now. All right. I was trying to figure out where that was going.
I don't think he copied him because Evan would have called him Manea, not Manea.
That's true. Yeah, I don't know. So the point is that guy listened, which is very common. Like, you hear something and you're like, okay, I agree with that. I'm going to repeat it. But in the case of A-Rod and Mike, it's on another level.
Well, you got to be checking Twitter, not listen to the radio.
No, I think Tiki nailed it, and we discussed this right at 4 o'clock. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. Tiki's point was a producer probably said to Alex, hey, when you lose a game four, it's an annoyance, but if you don't get that trophy going back to L.A., that's when you start to worry. And so I think the producer copied or repeated what he heard Mike say, and then A-Rod innocently repeated what Mike said.
Because I can't imagine A-Rod's scrolling through social media. Whatever this thing is called, X, Twitter.
Is that what it is now?
I don't know. Right. Maybe it was on Instagram. Who knows? But whatever. I can't imagine that Alex is just sitting up there like, oh, God, the game's about to end. Oh, I gotta think of something to say. Oh, I got one. Oh, okay, here we go.
Mike
Francesa said this, so I'm going to copy it and steal it from him.
I will say something for A-Rod. I don't know if he believes this, but I'm going to tell you how I feel. Okay. So, last night, after our show is over, I go get ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm a very happy man. I'm eating my ice cream. Yes, it's out of a Yankee helmet. And the woman was so sweet, Tiki. She shoved so much ice cream into that helmet
it looked
that I was like, I don't even think I can finish this.
Right. I'm a baby.
So I'm eating the ice cream, and I look up at the screen, and there I see Paul O'Neill throwing out the first pitch, which we all knew. Okay? And yes, Paul threw a terrible first pitch. That's not even my point.
Threw a terrible second pitch, too.
And he threw a second pitch.
We still love you, Paul.
What bothered me that I cannot get over is who caught Paul O'Neill's pitch. And this is not a knock on the wonderful A.J. Burnett. A.J. Burnett is a fine Yankee, okay? He's going to face shrapnel he doesn't deserve right now. So I see O'Neill to A.J. I'm like, oh, that's cool. A.J. Burnett, 2009 world champion. That's cool that they brought him back. C.C. Sabathia a few weeks ago. Fantastic. And then I hear Hideki Matsui's throwing out the first pitch today. Again, no argument. World Series MVP. And I'm thinking to myself, are you freaking kidding me? Alex Rodriguez is in the building. He's here. And you are picking every single person from 2009 to be involved in a first pitch except for, I don't know, the best player. Yeah.
How do you know he's not catching Hideki tonight?
Bro.
And he's working.
Bro. So was Jeter, Teak. I got you on that one.
Fair point.
No, look, Sean, how do I know? I hope I'm wrong.
Well, I mean,
because clearly Alex deserves that.
But you know what it is. It's not like, why are we even speculating about it? Because we know what it is.
They got it, because the Yankees are upset that he sued him. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. They don't like him for whatever reason. Maybe it's because he sued him, or maybe because he was a pain in the ass with the steroid stuff.
I know, but
we know what it is. So why are we surprised that Alex isn't a part of any of the pregame festivities?
It's not surprise. It's more, it's almost insulting when it's AJ Burnett and it's everybody. But Alex.
So Tiki's right, but at the same time, I know they had two of those who would look really bad. They did bring him back at Old Timers Day just a couple months ago for the 09 championship celebration. That did feel, especially with the fans giving him a standing O that was there, that should have been a mending of a fence where this would have been the perfect opportunity.
So can he catch Matsui today then? Because I agree.
I would love it.
That turns out to be the case, what I would tell you is, you know what, Sean? Wow,
yeah,
you were right.
Good
surprise.
But it also wasn't guaranteed.
What wasn't guaranteed?
A game five.
You nailed it. Maybe if the Yankees had home field, he would have been thrown out the fourth game.
That is such a lame excuse.
I'm just saying. maybe because, I don't know. I can't explain it. Holding grudges is not worth it.
I agree.
It takes years off your life. It turns you into a sour person because you have something rotten inside of you, and you can't get rid of it because you refuse to let it go. So, to me, it's stupid. Alex, we're talking about baseball. Who cares if he cheated? Right? We're not talking about life. We're not talking about presidencies. We're not talking about wars. We're not talking about things that matter. We're talking about sport. Get over it.
Did it not jump out at you, Sean, when A.J. Burnett caught the pitch? Like, what about Alex or no? You didn't care about it at all?
I actually was pumped up because I'm a fan of something new and something different. So when A.J. Burnett jumped out, I didn't think of Alex. I thought, that's awesome. A.J. Burnett's here.
Yeah.
And by the way, boy, that neck tattoo was intimidating. That thing got bigger.
He's an intimidating guy.
Yeah. Now. All that being said, can I say something about our guy Hideki, who I love?
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a standing O tonight. I think it's awesome that he's throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried this is the wrong time to break out Hideki for a first pitch.
Why is that?
Shohei Ohtani idolized him. Shohei Ohtani could watch Hideki Matsui throw the first pitch tonight on one arm and go, I got to do this in front of Hideki Matsui.
What happens if he goes and trolls him?
If, Hideki does like a dancing L in front of his face?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, then I'd love Hideki even more.
Right. What if he says something to him in Japanese that we don't understand and it's like insulting and like undercutting?
I don't want to motivate. That could motivate him, though.
I mean, I doubt it. If he idolized him, if your idol told you, you're a whatever, wouldn't that make you feel terrible?
I guess it would. All right, so then Hideki's got to do that. But the bottom line is this. If Ohtani basically is Kirk Gibson with the one arm and hits a home run tonight, I'm going to blame the Yankees for going for Hideki Matsui tonight.
You're going to blame Matsui for inspiring him?
Yeah, because sometimes when you're putting your audio, I got to step up tonight.
Hideki Matsui is one of those guys who is such a beloved New York Yankee. Beloved New York Yankee. And he was the World Series MVP in 2009. I mean, you couldn't get him out. Like, he's one of those guys where it's not the wrong answer to have him throw out the first pitch.
Yeah.
So I kind of disagree with you about that, but if he is going to trash talk Shohei, I know exactly what he should say.
What should he say?
Look, Ohtani's a great player, as much as he drives me nuts. But Hideki Matsui's got something that Shohei Ohtani will never get.
What's that?
A smart bookie?
Good one. Hideki Matsui, I don't know if you know this, Tiki, has the greatest and biggest porn collection in the history of the world.
What?
It's true story.
Why is it? What?
That's true story. Never heard Hideki talk about it?
No.
Next time you see Hideki, ask him. He'll tell you.
Oh, sure.
He'll tell you all about it. I think he's got to go up to him and say, you may hit a bunch of home runs, but you know what you don't have? Blank, 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 part five.
What I do with my meat
Yeah, I got that on DVD, Shohei.
How do you know?
In your face?
I know all. I mean, listen, Hideki talked about it. I'm not new. I heard all the stories about his collection. I'm curious if he digitalized it, though. Like, if you have a big DVD collection or a VHS collection, don't you have to get it all on the computer at this point?
Nah, something nostalgia.
Yeah, but what happens when your VCR breaks and there's nobody left to fix it?
Exactly. Oh, there's always one on eBay to buy.
A VHS? Nah.
Come on.
Even DVDs, like, I got to get that digitalized.
Digitized.
Yeah, digitized.
Nah, man, if you're getting Hills Have Thighs, you keep that hard copy.
If you see Matsui today before he throws out the first pitch, can you ask him if he digitized this porn?
Whip out the jumbo package.
I think that's a very interesting question.
Is this like a real thing? He has a porn collection?
Oh, you think I'm making this up?
I do.
It's legit.
You really do?
I have no idea.
You think I'm making this up?
Yeah.
You think of all the things I would make up, I'd make up it.
Because if he did have one, why would you know about it?
Time to clear the cachet.
Wrap your legs around me, and I'll give you a ride.
So apparently, and you could go down the rabbit hole to figure this out, apparently Hideki would tell people about his collection and would brag about it.
Okay.
That, and so eventually it got to everybody, including someone like me. Here, show him. What does it say?
Hideki Matsui, the legendary outfielder with an epic porn collection.
See?
You think I'm whipping one out.
On the spice.
December of 2018. He's going to be remembered for owning a massive porn collection.
You think I make this up? I love Tiki the whole time.
He will enjoy his retirement because he has a massive porn collection.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he already is. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we've got a Cinco de 5-0. Luke Weaver may have crossed the line with some Yankee fans, and we'll get you set for tonight. What is expected out of Gerrit Cole tonight? 888-808-1019. That is the toll-free telephone number as we take it right up until the Yankee pregame at 7:25.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.